This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Coolness of his parents' eyes, Ya Rabbil Alameen, make him among the righteous, Ya Rabbil Alameen, and make him a beacon of light, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Make him among the ambassadors of Islam, growing up saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And wallahi, I give a lot of credit to his Sheikh, Sheikh Abdul Nasir Farah from Minnesota, from the Somali community, mashallah. They're doing massive work, Sheikh.
Mashallah.
SubhanAllah, today, Sheikh Abdullah, your name was mentioned in a gathering that I had with Sheikh Abdul Nasir among his students. I mean, I was just sitting with at least 10 Huffaz, very young, and everyone had an amazing story, amazing journey behind his memorization. And then I was just looking at Sheikh Abdul Nasir and I asked him, how was that to you as well? How do you have many, many, many students of knowledge, many Huffaz, some of them, you know, successfully memorized the Quran and others dropped in the middle. What is this secret that made many of your students finish the Quran? And then we spoke about this concept of motivation, discipline, and disposition. So I was mentioning that your terminology that you use about this concept of motivation, discipline, and disposition. And I was telling Sheikh Abdul Nasir, yes, some of his students, he was elaborating on these concepts as well. And obviously, inshallah, would love to hear more about this from you, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But I was telling him, subhanAllah, as students of knowledge, was coming into memorizing Quran, it's a tough journey, very tough journey. Now, motivation is not the goal here, right? Because I can be motivated to come and to memorize the Quran, but I can be motivated for a couple of days, and then this motivation will go down, and then I stop. And many people actually, you know, fail in this journey. They're just a little bit motivated at the beginning, and then eventually they slow down, and then eventually stop. But then that needs the discipline aspect of it, which is pushing yourself, putting your ultimate effort to stay on the path, on the journey of memorizing Quran. But then you said it beautifully before, Sheikhna, that this is not only this is also not the goal. The goal is not that you stay with the discipline of the journey that you're actually pursuing. The goal is beyond this, and that's this concept of disposition. And disposition is this eager want to do and to love what you're doing. That's ultimately what we want to be at. So I'd love to hear from you. JazakAllah khair, first and foremost, for blessing us with your visit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, Shaykh, and bless all of your endeavors, Ya Rabbil Alameen.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wa ba'd. It actually came about because, mashallah, Shaykh Yusuf took it upon himself to just text me and invite me over his home, mashallah. We used to be neighbors. Like, he was the house right next to me. And then, alhamdulillah, he got tired of me and... mashallah. No, alhamdulillah, he moved and then I moved. And mashallah, tabarakallah, he's in the area that I'm in Imam now, in the Coppell area, mashallah, tabarakallah.
This is how much I love you, Sheikh.
Allah,
I moved to the area where you're Imam.
Mashallah. But now, this whole concept of discipline is very, very important, especially for the Muslim, because... I mean, just to start out, you know, this is one of the characteristics that... How many of you have had the opportunity to speak to a coworker, non-Muslim friend, about Islam? Okay. Usually, when I speak to non-Muslims about Islam, or they tell me about Islam, one characteristic that always mesmerizes them and it always makes them say, wow, this is definitely something that distinguishes you as a coworker, that you leave to go pray or that you don't eat pork. And I used to work at a tire station and there was this guy called Ronnie. I tell you all this time. Ronnie, I used to work at a Sears tire station when I was younger and I just became a Muslim. So I used to work downstairs in the tires and bring the tires up. And Ronnie was like, you a Muslim, man? I said, yeah, man.
Is how you got a strong shipment like this?
Mashallah. I don't know, maybe. I was like, yeah, I'm a Muslim, man. He's like, man, how you leave a pork chop, man? How many of you know what a pork chop is? Get your stock for laws out the way and then just raise your hand. It's okay. It's all right. Pork chop. Yani khinzir. For those that don't know. Khinzir yani qatiya. Right, so he was like, a pork chop is your best friend. He said, how are you going to leave a pork chop? It tastes so good. I said, man, life is much more than a pork chop, my friend. Right? So he said, man, I don't know, man. And it was just so weird to him. But then he said, man, you got to have some discipline to do that. I mean, I know you pray downstairs all the time, but that, I pray too on Sundays. This is what he's telling me. He said, you got to have some discipline to leave a pork. So leaving a pork chop was more important to him than praying and being on time consistent for prayer. I mean, this is the inference that I understood. But definitely discipline is a characteristic of a mu'min, a muhsin, a Muslim. Because within the fabric of the Sharia, within the deen of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to transcend. He wants you to go beyond your norms that you had before you were practicing or before you decided to make that move to become a Muslim. And I'm saying this.
Don't cover the microphone from here because it blocks the voice.
And I'm saying this even, subhanAllah, I mean, there's many youth, there's many collegiates, and there's those that have come, later in life, those that have countless times, I hear, okay, I've come to America, and I had to make a choice. Do I want to continue practicing this religion? Because there's an easy way to go down the dark side, right? I had to have a level of discipline. I had to have a level of consistency in that. So the religion of Islam, from the fabric of Islam, is that it makes you a disciplined person. And what's so beautiful about it is when you try, I don't even want to say when you practice, because I don't want to mix that up. Sometimes when people hear the word practice Islam, they make sometimes it seems unbearable for them. It's like, I'll never be this person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wants you to try. He wants you to try. And trying is the religiosity. Trying is what pleases Allah. It's the sacrifice. It's making the effort. And that effort is well rewarded. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa kana sa'yukum mashkuran. And your effort, your sa'y, your effort to get up and do something, that is what is well appreciated.
You know, Sheikh, one of the questions that I usually get about khushu'ah, what khushu'ah means. And there is a misunderstanding about this concept of khushu'ah. People think khushu'ah is the ultimate focus you reach during your prayer. But actually, khushu'ah means the effort that you put to actually get to that ultimate moment of focus. And some of us, we will never reach that level of focus. Yeah. But the effort itself exactly. Is the khushu'ah.
SubhanAllah, that's beautiful. That reminds me of Ibn al-Qayyim, al-Jawziyyah, Damascus scholar, student of Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentions it's so practical of a point, for all of us that are working and busy, especially in this world of distractions where we're, doom-scrolling and just distracted all over the place. He mentions a beautiful dhabit here. He talks about the salah, because he's given an explanation of a hadith where Yahya and Isa are speaking, and then Yahya is telling, Isa's reprimanding Yahya because Yahya was ordered to tell the Bani Israel about the some five pillars of Islam. And then from them, he talks about dhikr. And this book is in this portion is in a book called Wabil al-Sayyib, The Invocations of God. You can find it in English. But then he talks about the prayer. When he gets on the prayer portion, he mentions that shaitan will try to come to you by wanting you to leave the prayer. So when the time of prayer comes in, you may do something, maybe watching a show, you may be binging on Netflix, you may be looking at your spreadsheet, whatever the case is, but you are not going to pray. You're doing something that may not be haram in essence at that moment, but if it's leaving the prayer, it could essentially be something that is haram. But here, Ibn al-Qayyim says, okay, shaitan will try to get you to not pray. But then if you fight him and you go to the masjid, you go to make wudu, you start to pray. He said, shaitan will continue. And what will he do? And this really, subhanAllah, is deep. You'll think that when you're in prayer and shaitan will try to affect you, he will cause you to think about bad things. But Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimullah, gets so deep, he says, shaitan will cause you to remember the thing you were trying to remember before the prayer. So like I'm on my way to the masjid, mashallah, I'm driving down Ranch Trail, Ranch, whatever, MacArthur, McGregor. I'm driving, I'm like, man, who was that? Who who was that brother that I was trying to call today? Who was? You're thinking about it. And then as soon as you come to the masjid, Allahu Akbar, you start to pray. The brother comes. Oh, that was the brother that said that in the WhatsApp group. Okay, I got it. Man, when am I going to respond? And, you know, Fatiha is being recited.
Is that why you texted me right after Salah?
after. No, but see, that's what happens. SubhanAllah, Shaitan will come and he will try to distract you from that which is awla, which is much more beneficial and what's much more needed. SubhanAllah.
Sheikhna, let's break it down now to talk about this concept of discipline when it comes to our children and how discipline plays a crucial role on their own development. I always talk about this, and I would love to also hear from you, bi-idhnillah, the difference between, again, these three concepts: motivation, discipline, and then disposition. These three concepts, and how these three concepts play a role on their own growth as boys and as girls as well.
I think it's important, you know, we as parents and guardians, is to understand that this is not an easy journey. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by giving us a child, it's a huge honor, and it is probably the strongest form of an investment that you can put on this earth. Allah has given you, Ar-Razzaq has given you someone from you to be of you and like you. But it's not going to come just like that. Yeah, from a genetic perspective, yeah, there will be certain characteristics that they have. But it's important for parents to know that it's about consistency. You can never give up on your child by not being with them, right? So it's about initially knowing that I'm going to have to be consistent in these adab, in these manners, in these ethics and values. I have to be consistent in that. Because if I'm not, someone else or something else is going to take control of them. Something else is going to influence them. They're going to understand the meaning of life through this. They're going to understand certain values. What is honesty? What is beauty? They're going to understand it from other than you if you are not voluntarily inculcating that within their lives. So that's the first thing that's important for parents to realize in regards to their children, because that consistency is teaching them discipline. That's teaching them discipline. That when it's nothing like growing up and you hear brothers, especially like you remember those that memorize the Quran, that say, you know, my father used to always tell me, you know, always used to wake me up for Fajr, or he always used to do this, always used to do that. That teaches him that you have to be consistent in order to reach a specific goal and towards from your disposition, which we'll talk about, inshallah.
SubhanAllah, there is an ayah, Sheikh, you reminded me with, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I believe Surah Maryam, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاسْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ. Like, istabir is a very unique word here in the Quran. I think it's mentioned just very few times in the Quran. But Allah here is saying that throughout this journey of ta'ah, and obviously raising your children is a form of ta'ah, you need to do what? Istibar. Istabir li'ibadati. Istabir means what, Sheikhna?
Perseverance.
Yeah. Perseverance. Consistent patience. The concept of consistency that you're talking about is that you're disciplining yourself to be consistent with raising your children. Eventually, that will make them disciplined.
Exactly. Because, you know, it's beautiful with that word, and that's one verb that I use as well when speaking about discipline. In another verse, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ, and order your family with the salah. وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. وَاسْطَبِرْ, and to have perseverance. And perseverance is patience over a long period of time. And that's beautiful because some of the scholars mentioned أَهْلَكَ, يعني your qawm, the people that are around you. Because you are a Nabi, so you're calling all of the people that are around you in your locality with salah. And that's not going to be easy, because they have to change their way of life. They have to be consistent with it. And subhanAllah, that's why within the fabric of the language of the Arabic morphology is so rich, because ziyadatul mabna tudal ala ziyadatul ma'na. The more you add letters onto the verb, it emphasizes the meaning. So definitely that perseverance is very, very important with children.
We're talking, Sheikhna, a couple of days ago, we were just doing a presentation about a camp that we had recently with the boys.
Yes, that's all.
And as we were hiking, we had overall 12 miles of hiking, mashallah. The boys were just like sweaty. They were pushing through it. It took a lot of mental discipline to actually go through it.
Right.
And then I was highlighting how that plays a huge role on their own development.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to elaborate more on this issue.
Yeah, so subhanAllah, this is why I love fitness, by the way. This is why I love working out, because, you know, I define discipline as consistent acts of control to reach a desired goal. Consistent acts of control to reach a desired goal. So the first thing is that it has to be consistent. It can't just be 1, 2, 3 times, because that is what motivation is. Motivation is, it lights the fire. It gets you motivated. Yani, 30 minutes after the khutbah, mashallah, 27th night. Even if kan fi lawh al-mahfuz, those are the 21st. Yani, 27th night of Ramadan. Motivated. This is not bad. But the hope is to where we at least have one habit that we want to try to be continuous in that following year. Whether it's leaving off a bad deed or doing a good deed or lessen it, right? So there has to be a level of consistency, and it has to be an act. You have to be voluntary in doing that thing with the correct intention, the niyyah. Because, you know, there's hum, there's the fleeting thought, and then there's the azm, like, okay, I'm going to do this. But the niyyah is where you are going to actually do it and get up and do the action. Then there's the fi'l. So when looking at consistent acts of control, there has to be a level of suppression. You know, I was in California, and we rucked. I didn't know what rucking was. I was like, okay, we're going to go ruck. Cool, it's fine. But then the brother comes with a big camp bag, and it has the 5-gallon water in there. So I'm like, what is this for? He's like, we got to go up the hill. Man, that was the roughest. SubhanAllah. You are literally battling your shaitan. Give up. You're tired. Go back, man. You're hungry.
It was tough even to you, Sheikh Man?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I don't know about me then.
You're going to be sore. It's hot outside. Wah, wah, wah. Right? In the end of the day, you have to repel that shaitan, because you know that doing this is going to be much better for you in the long run. So there has to be a level of suppression, control. Why? Because I have a destination I'm trying to get to reach a desired goal. And I can even say a purposeful goal, because I want to do that to get better. It's not just the physical. Like one of my mentors told me, he said, look, the way that I look is a byproduct of the way that I physically motivate myself during the workout. It's not about the way you look, even though it's a byproduct, but it's pushing through. Man, if I was able to do 10 reps of this or run, I do not like running. I do not like running. But I know I have to do it if I want to challenge myself and see the world of opportunity that's out there for me mentally. Because if I can do that, then I can wake up for tahajjud. It's possible. And with that possibility, and I'm Muslim? Oh, come on, man. Like, I just turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I ask for Allah's help, and I just have to put the work in. Ista'inu billahi wasbiru. Seek help in Allah and be patient. That is what discipline is. So really, when looking at this in this physical act, especially for young men, subhanAllah, that physicality, they consistently learn their reality. When they fall deep, they fall short, you tell them, get up. I remember there's this one, subhanAllah, I advise all of you, look at this man called Jason Wilson. He's in Detroit. He has a dojo, and it's called Cave of Shalom, I think. But wallahi, he's been on Joe Rogan and all these. He's so inspirational to me, because he has a book called Battle Cry. And he talks about the importance of men, and young men particularly, those that come from single homes, how it's important for them to have a lot of emotional intelligence and not be afraid to cry. So there's one video. The kid is hitting mitts. So he has a camera on the kids. I think it's his son. He's hitting the mitts, and he's like, no, you got to put your right foot forward. He's missing. And then all of a sudden, the kid starts crying. The kid starts crying, man. And as a father, you know why. But then he said, what's wrong? He said, I'm missing the mark. I'm not successful. He said, don't worry. That's okay. That's life. You have to keep moving. Keep pushing. It's okay. It's all right. He needed that. He needed to cry. He needed to go through it. But he needed someone that he trusts in, that loves him, that tells him, keep going. That's what I love about fitness. And that's what I love about being around young men when they face that. I love that. So my son was trains basketball. He said he was teaching this kid to shoot, and he said he was just crying. I said, why was he crying? Because he kept missing the shot. He said, I told him, just keep going. Keep going. You keep pushing. You'll eventually make the shot. You know, eventually make it. This is small. I don't know if y'all watched the game today, USA versus, if y'all saw that shot by Steph Curry, man, that was just, anyway. But you have to be disciplined. You have to keep practicing and move forward and go through those sleepless nights. And Shaitan's going to play with you. But that experience is priceless. And that's what is imperative, imperative, imperative for young men to go through nowadays.
For not having mental discipline, Sheikh, how that plays a role on marriage when things get tougher, on jobs when you're uncomfortable in your job and you face, you know, issues with your coworkers or with your boss. If I wasn't trained to have that mental discipline, how that will affect my future jobs or my future marriage?
You'll have what is called a fixed mindset. There's a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. There's a book called Mindset by Carol Dweck. It's a really good book. It talks about how people say, I am this. He is that. It's a fixed mentality. I am, son, you are lazy. I am not good enough. I am weak. No, you put into it, yet. You know, I will get there. Inshallah. We're Muslim. Inshallah ta'ala. Right? So when it comes to someone realizing that they give up a lot, that they never finish anything in life, there's a lot of brothers like that, a lot of people like that. You know, I've never finished anything. I always give up and stop, you know, to where they look back and they say, man, what have I really accomplished? It's important for them to, subhanAllah, to look at people that they respect and that have reached some kind of goals that they want to reach and try their best to, you know, see if they're able to be around them and to talk to them and take them as mentors. And then also, it's pushing through. You know, with procrastination, one of the ways of eliminating procrastination that some mention is you just have to get up and just do it. And do it not worrying about accomplishing that goal. So like when you want to get up for Fajr, some of us have made the intention to pray Fajr the next morning and we wake up and the sun is in our faces, you know. But that doesn't mean, do I don't pray Fajr anymore? No, you keep pushing through, you keep going, and you will eventually get there. And that's the level of discipline. So those, especially when it comes to marriage, especially when it comes to, there will be signs that show you that you are not disciplined in this particular aspect. And especially as an adult, you really have a choice to make in making those changes. And that's what being mature is for. You have to know how to be responsible in these particular situations.
So if I keep pushing, I can be 2 inches. Is this true, Sheikh?
Of course. Yeah, inshallah. Yeah.
I can?
Yes, you can. You can.
I can take you down?
Yes, you can. It's okay. Possible.
I'll try, Sheikh. I'll try.
You'll try. That's all.
I'll follow your advice, and we'll see how what's going to happen. Yeah. طيب, Sheikh, subhanAllah, since you mentioned Imam Al-Qayyim, rahmatullah alayhi, he said something very beautiful, very profound.
I know, mashallah.
He said that human beings are unique creatures. Because Allah has created angels with purpose but no desires. And Allah has created animals with desires but no purpose. But then Allah has created us with both purpose and desires. Allah. Mental discipline gets here to tell you, well, the only way that you can actually fight your desires and get closer to your purpose is by mental discipline. And then he said something very beautiful. He said, if the human being is to follow their desires blindly, they're getting closer to the animals. And if the human beings are and they're focusing more on their purpose, they're actually getting closer to the angels. And they might be in a higher status than the angels because the angels don't have that choice to make. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. They just obey Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is the essence of our worship, Sheikh Nas. This concept of discipline.
And even the opposite. إِنْهُمْ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. Where they are like cattle, rather they are more misguided.
Because animals don't have the choice.
Animals have the choice.
They don't have the choice.
It's survival mode. Yes. It's survival mode.
All they do, eat, drink, and mate. And some of the human beings actually do the same exact thing, even though we have the choice to fight these desires.
And that's why they're adal, because they had the they made the choice for the dalala, for the misguidance. So, wallahi, subhanAllah, that's such a beautiful thing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بِنِي آدَمْ, that we have made Bani Adam the most noble. Some understand that to be the most noble of creation. You know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us with the faculty of intellect. And intellect in Arabic is aql. And aql comes from the black ring, you know, they call it the iqal, which linguistically means to prohibit, yani mana'. So your intellect is supposed to prohibit you from doing things that are not befitting. But when you have the guidance of Islam, by knowing Allah, knowing the manifestation of His names and attributes, you will not do that which displeases Allah. And that's the difference. When I hear a lot of these, you know, people, whether it's self-help books or you find them, this Manage for Movement, they talk about the most important thing for the man is purpose. We as Muslims say yes, but our purpose is transcendent. Our purpose is not just to get a great job, to get married, and no, our purpose is وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Our purpose is to worship Allah, and worship is just gratitude, right? But how do you show that gratitude? By the system that He has given you, and we call this the Deen of Islam, the Sharia. And that's what differentiates the Muslim, is because everything that they do has the potentiality to please the one that created them. And what gives it that potential? The niyyah. If your intention is there, you will be rewarded for eating. You will be rewarded for walking to the masjid. You will be rewarded for smiling at your brother. But the intention is the foundation. And that's why when it comes to purpose, the Muslim's purpose is transcendent. It is not something that is of this existential, this physical life.
SubhanAllah, Sheikhna, over the past 10 years, there are about more than 30,000 books were sold from Amazon about purpose. People want to know their purpose. And subhanAllah, Muslims never struggle to find the purpose, because the purpose is right there. Sheikh, JazakAllah khair for all of your profound insights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. I want to ask you before we end this, how is your Beast program going? Yani the Beast is running the Beast program. So how is it going, Sheikh, and what are your last projects that you're working on? Give us more information, inshallah.
Right now, I mean, when you were talking about young men, I'm very passionate about masculine excellence, particularly from the Muslim perspective. I think it's important that young men and men in general understand that Islam has the answers for what true masculinity is. And we say prophetic masculinity. So I started a little group, a community called Masterman, that speaks about masculine excellence. So what we do is, you know, I'm in the process of writing a book that speaks about masculine excellence. So there's courses and classes, and I'm really creating a community of that for brothers to come together, to talk, to understand what it is, to network, to speak about, because there's a book on the 20 hadith on masculinity that I have, and inshallah going to be 20 ayat on masculinity, for us to understand how these hadith and these ayat particularly talk about masculine excellence from a perspective. So my goal is really to help men become the best man that they can be, for the world to be a better place. And I think it's my responsibility in that regard, because I love dealing with this demographic. So
you're actually doing this program here in Dallas, Sheikh, as well?
Yes, so the BEAST program he was talking about is an acronym for Building Essential Aesthetics for Strong Transformation. Some of you young guys, what I do is I get them in the gym, and then I teach them 5 primary workouts, but then I go through the curriculum that I have for masculine excellence. But I've paused on that to really create an online community that you just finished creating it, so alhamdulillah.
Looking forward to reading this book, Mawlana, inshallah.
Allah Ibarak Fik.
May Allah bless you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who listen to the speech so they follow the best of it. JazakAllah khair, Sheikh Abdullah, for blessing us with your visit and your hikmah and your wisdom. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it heavy on your scale, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Barakallahu Fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.